by Kai Miller, the cartographer tries to map a way to Zion. Number 3. The cartographer says no. What I do is science. I show the earth as it is without bias. I never fall in love. I never get involved with the muddy affairs of land. Too much passion unsteadies the hand. I aim to show the fool of a place in just a glance. Hi, I'm Parker Davis, and today we're exploring the definition of home.
What even is home? I mean, is it a building? Is it where you feel physically safe? I mean, like, I feel like home is more of like a feeling.
From the question, what is home? I think, can you have multiple homes at the same time? Does home have to be a place? And if not a place, what can it be? Can a person not have a home? Do other animals also perceive home? Why is home important? How does home change to people as their experiences change? How does home tell stories? How can home be harmful?
If home has so many definitions, which one matters?
Is home something that everyone decides for themselves?
Is home physical or mental?
First, I'll be speaking with Maeve, who is also a student here at Outdoor Academy. She's from Decatur, Georgia, and we'll be talking about Chief Standing Bear's story and how he might have viewed home. What do you think Chief Standing Bear viewed as home?
I think that Chief Standing Bear viewed the Niobrara as his home, which was his ancestral lands, and the Ponca Nation's ancestral lands. And I think that he viewed that as his home because he had such an intense tie to that land, because that was the land of his, as he said, his fathers and the fathers before him. And I think that therefore the Niobrara was like a really important land to him. And it's the land that he grew up on and was really foundational for him and was super tied to his culture. So I think that because of that, the Niobrara was his home.
Mm. And why do you think he viewed it so strongly?
I think it's because of the cultural connection and the ancestral connection to that land. The Ponca people had been sustained on that land for years, hundreds of years. And so that land was so tied into the Ponca culture and the Ponca habits of life that leaving that land would be like completely destroying the Ponca nation and what it stands for. And so it was like a super important piece of land to him because that was just the land of his people.
Yeah. Do you think if his son had not passed away and had asked to be buried there, do you think their return would have been as meaningful?
No, I don't think that it necessarily would have been as meaningful, but I still think that it would have been very meaningful. Returning to a home, no matter the cause, is meaningful in a lot of ways, especially in this case, to bury a loved one on ancestral lands. But I think that so many people had died, so many people were being buried, so many people who were still alive were going back to live in the lands of, as Chief Standing Bear said, you know, their fathers. And so I think it was very meaningful, no matter whether or not Chief Standing Bear's son needed to be buried there.
So. Do you think that he could have called anywhere else his home besides the Niobrara?
No, I don't think so. I mean, yeah, I genuinely think that the Niobrara was the Ponca's home, and it was so tied into Ponca culture, like the way that they worked the land, the way that they lived, the way that they cultivated food, and the way that they managed their tribes was all based on the land. And so leaving that land was like leaving a home, and you can't be a Ponca if you're not a Niobrara. Well, yeah.
Thanks.
No problem.
Next, I'll be speaking with my English teacher, Chelsea, about an excerpt from The Cartographer, which is a series of poems written by Kai Miller.
Number 20, in which the cartographer tells off the Rasta man. The cartographer sucks his teeth and says, every language, even yours, is a partial map of this world. It is the man who never learnt the word scroop, sound of silk or chiffon moving against a floor. Such a man would not know how to listen for the scroop of his bride's dress. And how much life is land to which we have no access? How much have we not seen or felt or heard because there was no word for it, at least no word we knew? We speak to navigate ourselves away from dark corners, and we become, each one of us, cartographers.
How do you perceive this poem?
I perceive this poem as, well, this seems like a significant moment in the conversation between the cartographer and the Rasta man. So obviously in the rest of the collection, they've been talking back and forth. And this one feels like the cartographer has been like, something has struck a chord with him where he's now kind of like lashing out a little bit at the Rasta man. And something that feels significant is that the cartographer is like, kind of turning it on the Rasta man a little bit, as he says at the end, we speak to navigate ourselves away from dark corners and we become each one of us cartographers, right? So I kind of see him saying, even you, Rasta man, right? Like you're, you know, you have kind of like pointed your finger at me and said, you are a cartographer and that means you are doing these specific things and I am different from you, a little bit of an us and them dynamic. And it seems like what the cartographer is trying to shed light on here is that really each person is a cartographer in their own way, and that that looks really different for everyone. But that in a sense, we are all trying to find our way. We are all mapping and making sense of things we've done. We're making sense of our world through our language. I think that's a big focus of this poem, the role that language plays. Every language, even yours, is a partial map of this world. And I think that, to me, that line and the last line, we speak to navigate ourselves away from dark corners and we become each one of us cartographers. To me, this poem is all about language and storytelling. And that first line is talking about how each one of us, it's just intrinsic to our human nature, is using language, whether we know it or not, to like map and understand our world. And in essence, that is what mapping is trying to make sense of our world in the most like human of human ways, is our desire to know and to make sense of things. And in speaking to navigate ourselves away from dark corners, we become each one of us cartographers. To me, that just signifies the power that story plays in shaping us and in shaping our world. And how we use stories to guide us out of dark corners, into places we want to be, away from places we don't want to be. Yeah, this poem just like really honestly leaves me thinking a lot about place, about language, about like the role language plays in our world, and about how place means different things to different people, and kind of like home as a sub-concept of that.
Mm. Do you think there's like the subtle connection poem underlying in there?
Yeah, I mean, I think home is woven throughout this poetry collection, specifically in the sense that like the cartographer is not from the place he has come to map. And the Rasta man is from the place that the cartographer has come to map. And through knowing that this poetry collection is about Jamaica, but a slightly fictionalized Jamaica. We can kind of use that as a frame of reference. But yeah, I think to me, it's like, this is a contrast of like, people are so inherently attached to, like, it's such a human thing to be attached to places, to be attached to land. And it hasn't always been that way. Like when humans were much more nomadic, things were attachment to land looked very different. But we now live in a world in which people predominantly like live in places for long periods of time. And to me, this is just like a classic, like the Rasta man is from this place. The cartographer has like come into this place. And it's like, how do two systems of knowledge kind of clash against one another? Like two worldviews, frankly, about like how to know a place coming to a head in this poetry collection. I think a big part of that has to do with home.
Do you think that like clash can also be related to like the literal definition of home, like a place or like a personal definition?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like the Rasta man is like an individual, right? And I think the Rasta man is an individual who calls this place home. At the same time, I think Kai Miller's intention with these characters is to have them like represent different parts of the world and like different cultures of knowledge and different like cultures and ways of interacting with place. And so I think like even just like thinking about those two cultures, I think we could unpack a lot of like how do those two different cultures also like perceive and interact with and understand home. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, Park.
Now I'll be speaking with Mateo, who's also a student here at the Outdoor Academy, and we'll be talking about the story of the Wendigo. So from Braiding Sweetgrass, do you remember the chapter Defeating Wendigo?
Yes.
And how, from reading that chapter, how did it relate to home for you?
Well, I think that home has deeper meanings. Home encompasses all of the aspects of your culture and all beliefs, religions, traditions, everything that makes your home a home. And I think I think it's the Wendigo people. The Wendigo monster is part of their home because home for them is, well, it includes the monster because home is what makes a place a place. Home is how this monster puts fear into you. It teaches you lessons. It teaches you what you have to know. And I think that to make, for them, their home is a home where they have this monster, and this monster is a big part of their religion. And it teaches you something. And that just makes home for you that much more special.
Robin Wall Kimmerer kind of relates the Wendigo as part of you and is like a shadow. Like, does that shadow represent anything? Could that shadow represent anything in your life?
Yeah. Do you know the saying with like a good angel and like a bad angel
mm-hmm.
on your shoulders? I think the Wendigo mantra could be like the bad angel, the second voice in your head. It's like saying like, oh, you should do this, or like, you shouldn't do this. It's like one of those angels. It tells you, it's the little guy on your shoulder that guides you and helps you. It scares you to help you learn.
Do you think in a way that shadow or the little person on your shoulder could in some way be society lurking behind you in a way?
I think it's
like the standards they set.
Yeah, kind of like the norms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. I think norms, for me personally, norms hold a very big thing because norms are the way you live a life. And yeah, norms are just very important to society because norms shape societies, and they shape how you live your day-to-day life.
Everyone has their own definition of home, and that definition can change. You can also have more than one home. Home is whatever you make it. Over the last few months, my view of home has changed. If you would have asked me 3 months ago, I would have said home was with my parents and sister in our house. My definition was literal. It was a place. Now, as I have grown over the past few months, I found my personal definition. Home is still that house that is filled with pictures. Home is still with my parents and sister, but home is also with everyone here at the Outdoor Academy. Each and every single one of the people here are now part of my home. We all have different stories and backgrounds. And every moment we have spent together are just now memories. And every memory has a story I can't wait to share. The stories of my home. Thank you so much for listening, and just know that there are so many stories that are just waiting to be told. Number 4. The Rostaman thinks, draw me a map of what you see, then I will draw a map of what you never see. And guess me whose map will be bigger than whose. Guess me whose map will tell the larger truth. Poem by Kai Miller. The cartographer tries to map away to Zion.
What is home to you? Home to me is wherever I feel like the strongest sense of connection to you, and it's like a place I return to. But it's not really a place. It's like more of the people that I'm with that make home for me.
Who said people are home?
Who said I do.
Who said
I do?
Who said bonds are home? Who says it's a physical
bonds?
Place? Bonds. Like B-O-N-D-S.
Like bail bonds?
Who said that people and bonds are home? Who said a place was home? How can you have both, but at the same time, neither?
Because home is everything.
Home but then is home wouldn't be special.
Home is down. Home is left. And home is right.
Home wouldn't be special
home
if
is
there was
nowhere,
everything.
And home is everywhere. What?
Home wouldn't be special if it was everything. How do we condense home?
Home is different for everyone. Like for me.
But who says it's different for everyone?
I do.
How can it be a noun and an adjective at the same time?
There are other words that are nouns and adjectives, but I don't see you coming for them.
I don't see you going for them either. Why is home that for you, though? Why isn't it something else? Why can't this pin be your home?
Because I don't live there, and...
Who said home is a physical place?
Because it can be physical, but it can also be, like, a feeling.
What if you like, felt something about this pin?
I don't feel anything about that pin. I don't feel any type of way for that pin.
My pin! This is my home! If you want to say home is a bond, you just destroyed my home. How do you think that makes me feel?
How do you think it made me feel when you put your home all up in my face?
Like, what if home is one specific thing? What if it's just your body? Because isn't your body technically the home for your mind and soul? Or is it?
I could agree to that.
But is it?
Home, it houses your body and your soul.
Yeah, but who says it houses our body? We do. And we say a lot of, or humans say a lot of stupid stuff that doesn't make sense. So why can humans make assumptions on what a home is when in reality home is nothing?
Words are... are only as much meaning as we give them. Like, we're the ones that decide. Like, we're the ones that put meaning to it.
Why did we give home so much meaning if there isn't a destined or a certain thing that it is? How can it be constantly changing from one day to another?
I don't think it changes from one day to another.
Depending on the person, it could. Home could be, you could be my home one day, but uh-huh. Parker could be it another day. It's different for each person, is it not?
Mm-hmm. But I feel like for most people, it's a pretty, like, it's a...
Are you making constant. Assumptions? Assumptions are not that nice, Kai.
I don't know. I feel like for the people that I know, like, home is, like, is kind of a constant. But I don't know.
Is it a place, a feeling? Neither? Both?
It can be both, I think.
But how can it be both? How can it be a place and a feeling? How can it not just be outer space?
It could be. If outer space is home to you.
But isn't that everywhere? And if everywhere's home, then there's no important meaning to it.
Well, bruh. I don't know what to say.
What is home? Because no one truly knows. It all depends on your mind and soul.
It's all on the meaning that we give it.
But who says we are the ones who give it meaning?
Because...
What do you want? We're done. I'm tired of this argument. It's going nowhere.